Blog Talk Radio.
Aloha, welcome to Talking Pictures. I'm your host, Paul Booth. Today is the definition of a yin-yang day. I'm really happy to be here. This is our 100th episode. There's too many people to thank, so I just send a thank you to everyone who's contributed. We're here today to review a film called The Hollow. But first, I wanted to take a brief moment to acknowledge the horrific events of Orlando 2 days ago. It's very tough, and we send our prayers to the families. We are not politicizing anything. That's for another time, but we just want to know that we send this show out with peace and love for movies. And we've had so many people from different areas on the film or on the show. So yes, again, Orlando, quite disturbing to us all. And we just wanted to, we honor them by sending out this peaceful show today. So for the 100th episode, which I'm just amped about, but I'm having to hold it back so I don't bumble my words. Let's get into it. The Hollow, directed by Miles Doliak, who made The Historian 2 years ago. I met him at Dances with Films, and he made this great film. It's closing out the Soho International Film Festival. For those New Yorkers, you probably know where the Village East Cinema is, but for anyone that doesn't, 189 Second Avenue, it says 12th Street in parentheses. I am that guy who walks around New York looking at the buildings. Most confusing place I've ever been. But for The Hollow, it's going to be on the last day, Auditorium 3, and it's going to be from 7:45 to 10 p.m. And all you film lovers, you're going to get a treat because you're going to get a Q&A with the cast and crew. And I've had the good fortune to interview Miles, interview one of his actors. And if you want tickets, just Google The Hollow Soho International Film Festival, because it says eventbrite.com, but then it's like slash and too many words. So definitely the first thing that pops up when you say The Hollow Soho International Film Festival will be the place to buy tickets. I'm going to start off by saying I, of course, highly recommend this film. I'm not having it on just to have it on. This was the sophomore film for Doliak, and I remember sitting in his first film before I had met him, and I was just thinking, there's this director at work, not that The Historian was bad, it's a completely different film, but I thought, there's this director, like, I guess the analogy is like the baby chicken trying to crack out of the egg. I'm not calling Miles a baby because he's a highly intelligent man, and he's a PhD. In fact, he's the only PhD I've ever met that never condescends me when we talk, and no disrespect to PhDs, but I just felt like I was witnessing a filmmaker, you know, hammering the wall. And when I met him the next day, I thought, wow, this is, you know, this guy's films are going places. So now, 2 years later, almost to the day, because Dances with Films just wrapped, I got to see The Hollow a few weeks ago. Miles has had a few public screenings for his hometown friends and family, but this will be the first showing, the world premiere. And we're thankful that this is the first official review of The Hollow. So with that, we interviewed Miles about this film. So if you want to go into the archives and get the real breakdown from the director's voice, please go back and do that. It was a great interview. But today, this film was superb in so many ways, and I'm literally going to kind of go through the cast members and the departments and discuss them, because it's rare that an independent film, like I said, the sophomore film, I mean, even if you bring up Steven Spielberg, Sugarland Express following Duel was not that great. Martin Scorsese's Boxcar Bertha after Who's That Knocking at My Door was not. I'd say George Lucas was the only person to make a sophomore film that became a phenomenon. If you really break down Star Wars, it's not the greatest film. It's an over-amplified bee picture that the whole entire world seemed to love. And it is good, but it is not good on, if you compare it to Kurosawa. And anyways, so Miles, when I was watching this, I was thinking, this is definitely a 70s film. This feels like something that I would watch because I love 70s movies. And it has this grit to it, and you feel the heat of Mississippi, and you feel the just kind of like something's lurking around the corner. And Miles sent me a message saying that he wanted it to look like a 70s character drama in the style of Sidney Lumet, like a Dog Day Afternoon. So in honor of Miles, I have the mic here sitting on my Dog Day Afternoon DVD. And direction top notch, but we will save that for a little bit because there's a lot to say. I'm going to go ahead and give you guys the extended synopsis. Here we go. When a U.S. congressman's daughter passing through a small town in Mississippi dies in a mysterious triple homicide, a team of FBI agents descends to investigate the team's brilliant but jaded lead agent, Von Killinger. James Callis, battling demons both past and present, has his beautiful, tough-as-nails partner, Sarah DeSoto, played by Christian Seidel, Vaughn was James Callis, tries to hold him and the case together. They find a struggling and corrupt sheriff's department, whose world-weary chief deputy, Ray Everett, Miles Doliak, runs drugs for a shadowy, influential, and much feared figure, Big John Dawson, William Forsythe, who seems to be pulling all of the town strings from his antebellum mansion on the outskirts of town, and a local victim with a strange connection to a number of the town's most prominent figures. Now, I'll start right there. Sorry, my excitement bumbled that synopsis. I'll start right there. Miles' performance in this could not be more different than who he is. I mean, obviously, he's not a corrupt sheriff who's running drugs, but there was just something about where there was numerous moments where I forgot that I was watching Miles. And I think that's the real testament to an actor, and especially if they're directing themselves. It's like, where do you draw that line? And to have cut a podcast with him discussing the Oscars like 2 months before I saw this, and then see him in this film and at times be like, you know, who is this creep, was just very refreshing. It was a real showing that Miles overcame that sophomore film cliche, slump, whatever you want to call it, and really upped his game. And it's not just an obvious given. Of course, he's a PhD, so he can articulate novels that he likes and music and many things that he discussed in our interview, which I really urge you to check out because you're going to love this film. This film already has a, I don't know if I'm supposed to announce that. So, it's doing well and will do well, and you guys need to check this out. And the only reason I'm going to mention this one person, it's not to name drop, it's just to show you how Miles has evolved as a director. And he's had the same, a couple of the producers are the same as the Historian, so Miles has obviously found his team. His company, Historia Films, is meeting their mission of making Mississippi-based productions. But here's a quote from his executive producer, Lisa Bruce, who produced The Theory of Everything, which was nominated for Best Picture the year before Miles made this. Having made 16 films, I don't choose a project lightly. Not only do I believe strongly in Miles and his team, I also believe strongly in the script. The Hollow is very well written. I can't even get into how well written this film was. That's a whole nother episode. It was just, yeah, I've been to Mississippi once, and this made me feel everything that I felt in that brief two-day trip, with a gritty attractiveness that movie audiences can't get enough of. Right. It smacks of True Detective, yet with all the allure of a James Lee Brick novel. Better still, it is set in the always mesmerizing backwater world of small town Mississippi. And Lisa Bruce just goes to show that Miles jumped way past the sophomore film thing and has, an Oscar-nominated producer. And that's all we're going to say about that, because we're not here to discuss his producers or their accolades. But that shows you the quality of films that Miles is making. And he actually shot this, I believe, like 1 year after Dances with Films. And it was such a huge jump. I don't recall a time when I've seen a director's next film and been like, wow, holy bleep, you are just outdoing yourself to the 10th power. If I was a fan before, I'm double the fan. And then when you get to the cast, I mean, you can't go wrong. James Callis, you'll recognize him from Bridget Jones' Diary, Bridget Jones' Diary, The Edge of Reason. He is really great. It's so weird to say he plays the perfect alcoholic, but I can relate to days in my 20s when I drank like that and had issues, and I really kind of related to him in an odd way. There's stuff I don't want to say because it would give away the character, but, and of course, the whole veteran aspect, which again, Miles explains much better and I in the interview. And then William Forsythe, which this actor you've seen in everything from The Rock to Halloween, Raising Arizona, Freedom Land with Julianne Moore and Samuel Jackson, Boardwalk Empire, The Mentalist. I mean, if you look at a picture of William Forsythe and it's, I can't even count how many things I've seen him in. When Miles told me he was going to be in the movie, I was so excited for Miles to see that he's attracting this talent. And then you have Miles, of course, who plays this sheriff, and his boss is William Sadler, who also thankfully has been a guest on our show. Very kind man. He's Haywood in The Shawshank Redemption. He was in Iron Man 3. He's the Grim Reaper in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. He was in The Green Mile, Die Hard 2. He did some episodes of Hawaii 5-0. It's really cool to see how small the business is. We actually had one of the producers of Hawaii 5-0 on, and she had great things to say to me about William Sadler, and he's just a nice guy. And I think that's what creates him being such a great actor. And what also I think that Miles did so well and Mr. Sadler was that Mr. Sadler is not a specific leading role. He's kind of more of a supporting role. And that's the sign of a true actor, artist, whatever you want to say, that they're willing to not be in the limelight. They're willing to trust the director and go with him. And they're willing to give all that they give, whether it's Iron Man 3 or an independent film in Mississippi. And so I really respect that. And you can say the same for William Forsythe and some of these other cast members that when we go through their credits. My favorite character, and it's not just because she's beautiful, and I'm not making it about that. She's a wonderful actress. Please, if I'm saying Christian instead of Christiane, I apologize sometimes with spelling the name, Seidel, who plays Agent Sarah DeSoto. She's been in Boardwalk Empire, Law & Order, SVU. I thought she looked familiar. My dad's always watching that show. But she played a great, it was so well orchestrated how she was kind of like that middle character, that it was like what she does not only affects the characters, but affects the case. And sometimes, you know, this goes to show the writing, is that she wasn't an exposition character. She wasn't a talking head. She wasn't there to be the good-looking bimbo to keep you interested in the film. It was, again, the writing. It was just a really great balance. That's what I liked about it. I've seen women that are like this. Sure, they're not trying to investigate a murder and they're not FBI agents, but I've seen women who have to really keep it together, and I think sometimes we forget to acknowledge how strong women are, and I felt like Miles, possibly, I didn't ask him, was kind of tipping his hat to that strength that women have, because it easily could have been a male FBI agent, but I think that's more of a cliche. And gosh, give me a moment. I'm just too excited right doing this. I have to take a drink of water because, as always, this is like sitting in a coffee shop, kicking back. The next character, Jeff Fahey, I mean, he's been in Wyatt Earp, Justified, great show. From Dusk Till Dawn, Criminal Minds. Gosh, my dad watches that show too. That's why he looks so familiar. And he was a great character. The thing is that the way Miles described how he's influenced by novels and characters was that he wrote fantastically nuanced characters. And I think it's one thing to write a good character, to write a character we relate to, but I think it's another thing when you get a character, say like the Agent DeSoto, that shows she can take care of herself, doesn't talk about how she can take care of herself. And we all know women in general, when they really take care of themselves, I don't want to spoil the scene or what was going on, but that I thought was a brilliant nuance. And I don't want to overuse that word, but there was things just popping out at me as I watched this film. It was just, yeah, we're going to go into the next actor, David Warshawski, whose films include There Will Be Blood, which is a personal fave of mine, Lincoln, Captain Phillips, The Master. Sadly, that's Philip Seymour Hoffman's last collaboration with Paul Thomas Anderson. Sons of Anarchy, Law and Order. Again, I think this film was created for my dad to watch because it has every actor that he loves. Great role, and in a small role, made it powerful. Made you kind of... It's like when you know something stinks. Not the performance, but the characters. You know, there's a scene where he's just... You're like, whoa, this smells. And again, that was Miles paying the same attention, and this is kind of more of a directing thing, paying the same attention to somebody that's in, this is an example, in four scenes, has someone who's in the whole movie. I think a lot of filmmakers get carried away with just having that supporting talking head character, or in film school, my writing teacher used to call it the Carl character. It's like, Carl walks by and you explain the movie to Carl, and then Carl goes in and get a bagel. Miles cut that off. And of course, Miles is the first to admit he has a wonderful team. He has producers that he's worked with before, Ryan Jackson and Mackenzie Westmoreland is one of the founding members of Historia Films. I met Mackenzie at Dances with Films. Very, very nice guy. And I don't want to say it's actually inspirational that he's blind and directs plays and has directed the second unit on The Historian. I'm not taking anything away from him. I have some disabilities myself, so not disabilities. I don't know what the PC word is, but you guys know what I mean. His producer, Ryan Jackson, after graduating from University of Southern Mississippi, spent nearly 2 years in the production department for the WWE. After leaving his company, he went on to work on such award-winning Mississippi-based films as The Dynamiter, Mirrors 2, Sci-Fi Channel. He then spent the next few years as a stunt performer with films that star Jean-Claude Van Damme, Samuel L. Jackson. He went on to produce his first feature film, The Historian. So you guys do have to check out The Historian. It is, I think it's still on iTunes or Amazon. And here's the next one that's supremely important to this film. And when I say supremely, I don't use that word often. Ben McBurnett, the director of photography. This was a film that could have been shot by any known cinematographer, and you wouldn't have known the difference. The greats that are out there, Roger Deakins, Matthew Levitique, I was waiting to the end to see that he had one of those guys in the ASC that hangs out at the clubhouse, and to see that it was an indie cinematographer. He's worked in the camera shorts, a cinematographer on several features and shorts and commercials, and it was just dead on 70s film. It was almost like this guy shot some of the 70s films, which go back to Haskell Wexler, Caleb Deschanel, Robert Surtees. Those were the guys that defined that late 60s, 70s genre of film. And he doesn't look like he's old enough to have been shooting films in the 70s. So that is quite the accomplishment. The music was great. You know, I guess what I just want to say is that we're very thankful to Miles, who allowed us to review this first as an exclusive. I could probably go on for another 20 minutes about the film, but I wanted to keep this tight. And again, closing night film at the Soho International Film Festival, the world premiere, this coming Wednesday, June 15th, 7:45 to 10 p.m. It says here that tickets are still available, and you're in for a treat because you're going to get a cast and crew Q&A after. And that's always special when a filmmaker takes the time to do that. So with that, I just want to say again, check out The Hollow. It will come to where you're at. I can guarantee it. It's going to boom on the festival circuit. And down the road, we'll let you know other possible ways that may be available to see the film. But two thumbs up, 4 stars, A+, whatever you want to give, whatever you want to say or float your boat. And kudos to such a wonderful cast and crew in a brilliant film. And all I can say is I'm waiting for the next Miles Doliak film with this quality of cast and crew. And as I sign off here for our 100th episode, again, we can't reiterate, this is just such a two-sided coin for me. I'm incredibly wanting to send love to Orlando, and I'm so happy that we made it to 100. Thank you to my producers. Thank you to everyone who believed in us. But most of all, the final tie-in here is that Miles was our first podcast guest. So to have him be our 100th episode really shows you that to be a good director, you have to be a good person. And Miles is both. Whether you're listening to this in morning, afternoon, or night, make sure and watch a good movie today. Take care and aloha to all.